It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. A little later on, you're going to hear my epic chat with Greg Sorvig, who's the Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Heartland Film Festival, which is coming up October 12th through the 22nd. And you can go to heartlandfilmfestival.org to start planning your film festival festivities. So we'll be talking about the festival as well as films with your family, because we both have families, our own. Anyway, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First, opening in theaters this weekend. Well, you have Battle of the Sexes, which is Emma Stone as Billie Jean King, Steve Carell as Bobby Riggs, and it's the making of the epic tennis match between those two in 1973. I've always found this event fascinating, so haven't seen it, but I would like to check it out. And since the daughter is a big Emma Stone fan, and Steve Carell for that matter, I'm sure we'll be seeing that. Also in theaters, a reteaming of Tom Cruise and Doug Liman for the film American Made. So I'm guessing he got big money for The Mummy and not so big money for this one, where he is a pilot recruited by the CIA in one of the biggest covert operations in history. And then another one of Emma's favorites, Ellen Page, is in a remake of Flatliners, which looks like the remake of Point Break. And yeah. So, anyway, if you wanted a remake of Flatliners with maybe smaller hair, there you go. However, opening in selected theaters this week, I should mention the comedy Different Flowers, about a bride who, with the help of her younger sister, run away at the altar and go on a big life-altering road trip, as opposed to the non-life-altering road trips. Should be noted, Shelley Long is one of the actors in this, playing the grandmother. It's written and directed by Morgan Dameron, and this is in select theaters, so you have to look. I think it's playing in Fort Wayne. I don't even think it's playing in Central Indiana, but might have to go check for locations on that as well as online availability. But also opening this weekend is Year by the Sea, and this is the film starring Karen Allen as a mother of two, grown boys of two, and this is one of these long-time married and just needs to get a new outlook on life. So she winds up renting a cabin in Cape Cod for a year to not only write but to get her life in order. Yes, it is one of those that it looks like a travelogue for Cape Cod. Fish out of water story with Allen having to adjust to her new surroundings, getting on a boat, going to the island, coming back, meeting the eccentric, eclectic local folks, including, I hope I'm saying it right, Celia Imrie, who is one of her neighbors on the island. One of those classic English that ladies. S.E. Parther Murchison is in the film playing Karen's agent and confidant. So it has a truly moving picture feel to it, as far as an older woman trying to rediscover herself. You know, what happens after the relationship with the husband's not very strong, and the boys are now old enough to go on their own. Allen's solid. I mean, Allen's very good. She gets to do a lot of physical comedy, and you know, it's something of substance other than just being the wife or the mother. If anything, the film could be about 20 minutes short. Judd Apatow's disease. We meet some of the semi-regular characters that she comes across on the island, and everybody has a backstory. The woman who works at the shop who has an abusive other half. We have the fishmonger who also has some marital problems and may cause some sparks with the Karen Allen. You'll just have to check it out. But people complain about the number of sequels and remakes. Well, here's one that you can check out. You're by the Sea. It is in select theaters. Go look for it and stop complaining. Keep looking. Keep searching. Okay. And yes, Mother's still out there. I still defend that film. All right. Shifting gears a little bit. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, on one screen, you have Flatliners and Friend Request. Yeah. Screen 2, American Assassin and Kingsman: The Golden Circle. R-rated action movies. Screen 3, Till Death Do Us Part and It. And on screen 4, the Lego Ninjago movie, as well as Home Again. So they're hoping the kids fall asleep by the time Home Again begins. All right, that is over at the Tibbs. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, you have the Lego Ninjago movie as well as Leap. So there's one for the family there. Over at IU Cinema, depending on when you're listening to this show, at 3 o'clock on Saturday the 30th, you have Shine On, the best animated films from Children's Film Festival Seattle 2017. And then at 7 p.m., the Academy Award-winning Slumdog Millionaire from 2008. Sunday the 1st at 3 o'clock, Longing and Belonging, the best live-action films from Children's Film Festival Seattle 2017. And then from 1993 at 6:30 p.m., My Life. And it's part of the Bruce Joel Rubinson A Spiritual Life series. And speaking of which, Bruce Joel Rubinson, Monday the 2nd, will be lecturing at 3 p.m. And then at 7 p.m. from 1990, Ghost. Tuesday, October 3rd at 7 p.m., Infinitely Polar Bear. This is with Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana. Sorry. That is Tuesday the 3rd. Thursday the 5th, Heavenly Creatures from 1994 with young Kate Winslet. This is part of the Kids These Days series. Friday the 6th, IB Area at 6:30 p.m. And at midnight, the Kiki's Delivery Service. I just meant the Miyazaki animated drama Kiki's Delivery Service. Kiki's Delivery Service also being played at 3 p.m. on Saturday the 7th, as well as the 2017 documentary City of Ghost at 7 p.m. So plenty of things to see down there over at the IU Cinema. Over at the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin, you still have time tonight at 7:30 p.m., Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. At Tuesday, October 2nd at 7:30 p.m., presented by the Johnson County Public Library, the Joy Luck Club. And then mark your calendars Friday and Saturday, October 6th and 7th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Arsenic and Old Lace, Cary Grant and the Frank Capra comedy. Well, Frank Capra's film version of the comedy. Tuesday, October 10th at 7:30 p.m., Like Water for Chocolate. Friday and Saturday, October 13th and the 14th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., the original John Carpenter's Halloween. And then Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. That's right. Okay, what's new on Blu-ray this week and video? Transformers The Last Night, as well as 47 Meters Down. But if you need Brigadoon on Blu-ray or The Piano Teacher on Blu-ray, those are our options as well. As well as, I can't believe this is the first time it's on Blu-ray, but if you really need the film version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, yes, the one with the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton from 1978, that's on Blu-ray as well. You're sort of welcome. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back after the break, my interview with Greg Sorvig promoting the Heartland Film Festival, which is running October 12th through the 22nd. So stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Hey guys, I'm Molly Sims, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis. Hey, Mrs. Soci.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Before we get to my interview with Greg Sorvig, he's the director and marketing director of marketing and PR for the Heartland Film Festival. Of course, Heartland is running October 12th through the 22nd, and you can go to heartlandfilmfestival.org for all your information there. I came across something while I was doing research for the Blues House Party. There was a collection that came out on Sunset Boulevard Records called Who Was Mac Rebenack? And this is a collaboration. This is a collection of songs featuring Dr. John before he really became Dr. John. And one of the tunes on here is a tribute. It was a tribute to a New Orleans horror show host known as Morgus the Magnificent. And I wanted to share just a little bit of this with you.
Morgus the Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop. He's got shaggy hair and a graveyard stare. Vampire blood spilled everywhere. That's
Morgus the Magnificent.
Well, good evening, my dear students, and of course, friends of science and those of the higher order. You're going to see me tonight as you have never seen me before, totally out of my normal intellectual personality, so to speak. That's your cue, Chopsley. What we have here is a little machine, of course, just like something you may have at home, like your video recorders, right? Except it's a craniological recorder. It records impulses from brain waves. And just like your machine can dub one picture or one sound right through the air and keep impulses on a tape, this can take from the section of the brain that gives talent, can actually take that talent and put it into the brain of another person. In fact, I'll show you how it works. You just put your head inside of this little tube right here.
Like that?
Oh, yes, it doesn't hurt. So just put your head in there. Yes, as a matter of fact. Okay, here we go. Okay, that's all, sir. That's all, Mr. Lucchese. Mr. Lucchese, how are you? Okay, Chopsley. Get him out quickly. Okay, he'll be okay. Chopsley, give him these pills. Put that in his pocket. Let's take him away.
Libiamo, nell'etica, lecce la bella safidora. E la fuggiavola, sina via voluta.
There you go. That's Morgus the Magnificent from New Orleans. He was on New Orleans television from the 1950s through the 80s, and just came across a song that was done by Dr. John way back when. I have to get the exact date on that. But it's also a reminder: Sammy Terry is going to be on Film Sociology once again very, very soon. So stick around for that. But yes, Film Sociology, your home for local horror show host information, even if it's not local. All right, Greg Sorvig, who is the Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Heartland Film Festival. The Heartland Film Festival is October 12th through the 22nd. Go to heartlandfilmfestival.org for more information. Here is my epic chat talking about the festival and movies we've watched recently and movies we've watched with our own families. My epic chat with Greg Sorvig. Enjoy! Okay, Greg, I want to go back to the day after last year's festival. What is going on in your office?
People think we just hibernate, ball up, the roly-poly bug style. We don't do that.
Watch cruddy movies to cleanse your palate.
Yeah. But really, one to two weeks after the festival, in our world, the festival is still going on. We have to go to the theaters, we clean up, we have film prints that have to go back. So the job is not done. And a unique thing, too, is that we're one of the only film festivals that I know about. If your film is rejected, we're actually pretty nice to you, and we give you constructive feedback based on what our screeners have said. So we've actually had filmmakers who recut their film based on feedback, and they sometimes get in future festivals, too.
Can you give us an example of something that was cut for the better?
We had an opening night film, Gimme Shelter, a few years ago with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes.
That was a past filmmaker, too, and I think our past artistic director gave some initial feedback on that, and it didn't quite work for the year before that, but then we saw some strides and ended up coming gloriously as the opening night film. So that was pretty good.
It's interesting, because I think with your work, I wonder about how you mentally view your calendar, because you have a child now, but
yes,
there is the academic calendar, because I have a high school daughter and
right,
a wife teaches, so there's the academic which is different than the regular calendar, and then of course you have a festival calendar.
Yes, and we have a bunch of year-round stuff too, so
right.
And we had our new president Craig Prater that came in last year, and he's done a lot of kind of neat and exciting things. We used to have a lot of kind of scattershot roadshow screenings. We partner with different community
yep,
groups. Now we debut the Cultural Journey, where we focus on a country and really promote and highlight not only the cinema of that country, but the culture with food, attire, things like that too. So we had Cultural Journey India during our guidebook time. So I didn't get to spend a lot of time at the event, but I was laying out the guidebook for this year's fest. And we're going to be doing Mexico, I believe, probably in April is where we tentatively have that set for, too. So a lot of stuff going on in that regard. But with our calendar, my daughter was actually born almost 2 years ago. She was due during the festival. And
I bet your lovely wife loved that.
Again, yeah, we just wanted a kid, and so calendars did not come into consideration when that came around.
Okay.
But she was born 2 days after the festival, and then her first birthday fell over the festival last year, too.
And I bet the festival people are appreciative of that.
Yes, definitely. But balancing the calendar, I'm the kind of guy, I like doing a million things at once effectively, so I'm very reactionary with things, too. But yeah, I took over for both film programming and marketing. But over a year ago, too, so it's balancing that, and we have some fantastic, passionate people on staff, but it was looking back at what past people did, either figuring it out or whatever, too. So, yeah, it was almost a whole new ball game this year, but we got through it. We had over 1,000 more submissions, which was crazy.
1,000 more?
1,000 more.
Wow. That's a lot of dry erase board and Post-its in your office.
It is, and I think I'll tell you that the saving grace is that we have a lot of amazing screening volunteers, over 60 people across the different committees who stepped up, and we had more people we added. But we also met some fantastic people that were ex-Microsoft developers that worked with the Port Townsend Film Festival in Washington, and they developed their own software. It's almost like a Netflix queue for submissions that come in through our different platforms. So we were able to work out the technology behind that, and we're prepared as much as we could be. And we got through it. So thank God. We're here today with a program of 75 more movies, 213 movies. So we're excited to show it off here.
I have the program guide in front of me, which is great for radio. but I mean, it's like a media guide for a sports team now.
It is. It's crazy. And it's our biggest marketing piece. So we were just at the Carmel International Arts Fair giving them away. The guide is completely online, too, if you want to check that out. And it's more effective online, too, to look at trailers. But it's nice almost to have the guide. There's a pull-out schedule grid. You can mark your calendars. And then maybe watch trailers online, too.
There are some of us old people that still like to have paper in their hands. Sorry. And we'll recycle it later. But there is that aspect. We can watch trailers online all day.
Definitely.
We count that as work. But, yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
All right. So we have, you said 213?
213
movies, yeah. Is that the record?
That is a record. So that's something our president, who's worked with multiple international film festivals, we started out really as this small community-based film festival, and we've definitely grown over the years, too. So we have finalists, which is a little bit different. Some film festivals like, hey, all these 30 films in this category up in competition, we identify the top five in each category. So that way we know the filmmaker, we can bring them in. So when they win the big money and the big prize, it's not crickets and no one shows up. So we want to actually honor those folks, have them in. So that's something we do differently, too. But we have all these films in. It's going to be pretty crazy.
All right, let's start with the opening night screening
yes,
of LBJ.
Correct. So Rob Reiner, if you remember, was here years ago with a family film called Flipped.
My one and only red carpet treatment I've ever done as on this show.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So that was right before my time. And this is something radically different. And I think it shows the growth of Heartland over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I wouldn't exactly call it the sequel to Flipped, but it's an R-rated movie about the Lyndon B. Johnson, the president, and really the time in his life, slice of life, running up to the assassination of JFK and how that affects his trajectory into the civil rights movement.
All right, I'm going to word this carefully because
yeah.
This is a family show. Because Woody Harrelson's playing LBJ in this picture. Are there scenes with Johnson on his throne during conference?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You don't, I
think of John Cusack and the butler, and I know other people have done it, but yeah, something that Johnson was famous for. Welcome to film sociology, folks.
Yeah, and yeah, the program where people like tasteful side butt. So that's what we can offer you.
Is that a tagline for this year? That's just your theme?
Tasteful side butt. No, but that's the thing. I think growing up, obviously, I'm 33. I did not live through this period. You know JFK. You know what he did. You know the kind of scandals and the romanticism of the persona. But I don't think I ever heard Lyndon B. Johnson speak. I never knew he had a Southern drawl. I never knew these things. I grew up idolizing Walt Disney. I know there's a picture where he got the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he's shaking hands. And that's really what I knew about him. But he is super crass. There's some hilarious. You will laugh out loud.
People talk about the word choices of somebody that's in Washington right now, Lyndon Johnson had his and Nixon, of course. They had their own vocabulary way back when.
Yeah. Without offending, I won't go there. But
right.
There's some hilarious stuff.
How did this film get selected for the opening?
Yeah, actually, so the distributor is Electric Entertainment, who. We actually partnered with last year to bring the Book of Love to the festival. And Rob Reiner, obviously, we have connections with the festival, and one of our longtime board members, Greg Paul, he was actually the legal representative for Jimmy Stewart later years.
Mm.
And that's how we have the connection too. We have the Jimmy Stewart Legacy Award,
right.
Film that honors his legacy, and we're the only festival that has that connection. But I think just the stars aligned from the same distributor and the connection with Rob and our board member, with Castle Rock Entertainment and stuff too, so it just perfectly fell down the line, and we got to screen the film, and I think it's going to really pay tribute. And obviously, he made it. It premiered at Toronto last year, so obviously, it was a different world even when he made it, and then leading up to that. So it should be interesting to hear. Rob is a very open guy when it comes to politics. So
yes,
definitely come and stick around for the Q&A.
And
it'll be spicy.
Do we know what? Do we know when the film will get a national release?
Yes, it's set for early November, I believe.
See, folks, you're getting a. We know people like to see previews of things and things before they actually open. So here is your chance.
Yep.
Now, contrary to what we say, there's more to this film than just Woody Harrelson on the can. So
yeah,
just...
and Jennifer Jason Leigh's in the film too. Another great performance. Bill Pullman, he pulls the Heartland trifecta. He's in opening night. He's in a special presentation from A24, The Ballad of Lefty Brown, straight ahead. Western film where Jim Caviezel doesn't play Jesus. He plays a senator.
He didn't play
governor
Jesus in an escape plan. He just had he was a warden with a God complex, but that's
right.
Different. And what's the other?
Walking Out, a film that was at Sundance, and it has Bill Pullman as a father. Matt Bomer is in that film as well.
Does Bill know that half of his films this year are in the festival?
I think so.
Why isn't he here?
He's such a busy guy. We,
right.
You know, we worked out, so we're excited to have these films and have these big names. So we totally understand with schedules and everything, too.
Okay. Shifting gears, we have the GLOW Awards Party, which is not the series that was on with the Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Yes.
So tell us, give us a little
over
more insight
the years,
on that, please.
So my first taste of Heartland was back, I think, 2007 or 8. There used to be a huge awards gala at then Conseco.
I remember that, yeah.
And I had the cheap seats. There used to be kind of bleacher seats where you could watch people on their round tables and stuff, too. And I was blown away. And that's really gone in different directions over the years, too. So we've moved to Fountain Square years ago, so we were really trying to find something that... It's fun and festive. And so this year, it's something totally different, not your standard award show where you sit at a table. We're going to take over Fountain Square. We're going to be at the Hi-Fi for the actual awards ceremony. We're going to have Pork and Beans Brass Band, New Orleans-style band, go down the street. We're going to take over parts of the cultural trail. We're going to have food at Pure Eatery, the Vault Pinball and stuff, too. So, yeah, there's going to be some stuff, too. So I guess people are recommended to wear your bright colors, too. To party with us in Fountain Square. So, yeah, it's a fun atmosphere. We're going to give over $100,000 in cash prizes as well. So, yeah. So if you've been there in years past and you envision a Golden Globe style, I'm going to sit down and just relax for an hour and a half. You're going to have fun. This is, even if you haven't seen the movies, you're going to come here and this is going to be a fun standalone event.
It's going to be a good time.
Definitely.
Okay, speaking of food and film, you have the Filmmakers Brunch. That's an annual event as well.
Yeah, definitely. So that's going to be at the Montage, which is near Castleton Square, and that is really an opportunity. The last Sunday of the festival, so if filmmakers don't have a hangover from winning the night before,
or if
they
do,
won't make it. Or if they do, then yeah.
they show up disheveled.
They'll eat more bacon and eggs.
But always remember, a film sociology tip, go for grease and salt, never go for sugar the morning after.
Yes.
There you go.
So it's just a great roundtable discussion. We make sure to pair filmmakers. We are going to have more film distributors and industry folks here than we've ever had before. They're going to be here as well. And just attendees. And this event does sell it every year, so get your tickets now. But you can ask questions. You can sit at a table, have a brunch with filmmakers and other folks in the industry, and really connect in a way you otherwise couldn't probably throughout the festival.
Exactly. All right. And we also have an event called Laddie, the Man Behind the Movies.
Yes, our closing night film. And this is our first documentary as an event film since 2012.
Oh, okay.
And I'm super biased because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd and a movie nerd. So here's the thing, too. This guy, Alan Ladd Jr., if you've heard about Alan Ladd Sr., he kind of looked like the precursor to Indiana Jones. He had the fedora. He was this leading man in the early days of Hollywood. Well, as you can guess, if you're a leading man in Hollywood, you didn't have a lot of time for family and other things, too. So Alan Ladd Jr. Spent a lot of time at these moving picture palaces, seeing 20 movies a week, and he became fascinated and he became a studio executive, but you haven't heard about him. So I think it kind of embodies that almost that humility of the Midwest to an extent. That's how I thought it really fit with Heartland stuff too. But he is responsible for green lighting Star Wars, the original Star Wars, and keeping the Fox board from pulling funding during production, which they wanted to do multiple times.
Right.
So if it wasn't for him, we really wouldn't have the film landscape we have today. But beyond Star Wars, he worked with Ridley Scott on Alien, and he actually asked and requested, hey, what about Ripley? What if you change that from a guy to a girl?
Mm-hmm.
He added, that addition helped launch Sigourney Weaver's career. He helped get the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like the midnight screenings. It wasn't a great success when it came out, but he's the one who helped propel it to that midnight success.
He was quite the mover and shaker in the 70s.
Yeah, he was. So Blade Runner as well, and the new movie's coming out recently. Gone Baby Gone, working with Ben Affleck and things like that too. So
if you go to IMDb, you can look at all the films that he's produced or the studio that he ran.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
over 150 Oscar nominations, more wins and stuff too. So, so his daughter Amanda Ladd Jones created this documentary really to give him his moment in the sun. He's 82 now. He can't make it. He's had some health issues, but he's going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award, which I just mentioned. Rob Reiner will get. So we have two Hollywood legends really as bookends for this year's festival. So we're excited to honor that for sure.
And speaking of legacy, there's also going to be a critics panel. Now you're going to hear some of the panel includes some miscreants that have been a part of this show, but you're also bringing in Chaz Ebert.
That's going to be a
thing right there.
Yeah, definitely too. So if you're not familiar, Life Itself, great Steve James.
Best film of that year,
yeah,
I remember.
2014, Magnolia Pictures distributed that film. So we didn't get to screen it during the festival, so we're excited to bring it and actually have its Heartland debut years later. She will be, Chaz Ebert, Roger Ebert's widow, is going to be here for an intimate Q&A after that. And then she's going to moderate this film critics panel. And the other thing that's exciting is that for Prezi, the Federation of International Film Reviewers, Klaus Eder, who's the head of that, is going to be here too. So he's a huge deal on the international film criticism scene. And then we also have Richard Probst and Christopher Lloyd as well. So it's going to be a great mix, and I'm really excited. We've tinkered with panels over the years to varying success, but we've really kind of cemented this premier pavilion, now the Woodbridge Pavilion, as this neat kind of social hub where you can get drinks and hang out. So it's the perfect place to reintroduce panels. So we also have a women in film panel. We have Indiana Filmmakers panel. We have an Indiana Spotlight program. And then we have kind of entertainment law panel as well.
I say, you, speaking of, how are the local representation when it comes to films this year?
Yeah, you know what? I think, so again, we have 3,500 movies this year, and in years past, it's, we still have a lot too. And only 5%-ish get in. And it's not saying there aren't great movies being made in Indiana, but it's incredibly tough for anybody's movie to get in, let alone folks from Indiana. And there, of course, there are disadvantages with lack of tax incentives and other things too. But you know, we heard time and time again, hey, you know, why do I even submit to Heartland? It's tough to get in. Not just from Indiana filmmakers, but other folks in general too. So we debuted the Indiana Spotlight program a few years ago, and then we tied on a $5,000 cash prize a couple years ago. And that has really done a great job because we really, you know, there's no, every town now feels like there's fill in the blank film festival. But now there's fill in the blank film society or group and art house cinema that really becomes the mecca for filmmakers and the place to watch movies and stuff. We don't necessarily have that. There's new things that are coming up too. But all of our film festivals, I think, should be the epicenter of that networking and stuff too. So we're excited to have that. And I think we have three features and two programs of short films, of films that are made from Indiana filmmakers or people with Indiana ties. I think it's going to be great. I think that the reaction has been fantastic. Our Nelson Party people are excited. And I think the first sellout movie that we have is one of our Indiana Spotlight titles. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty crazy too.
I say you mentioned because there's been a push to try to get more tax breaks for filming in Indiana, and there are right now not one but two full length films that were shot in central southern Indiana, and I know you guys you're screening one of them. You're screening Columbus,
correct?
And then also from down in Bloomington was The Good Catholic,
correct?
And those are I think getting some buzz outside of the state. So hopefully those two films can help boost, like, yeah, you can do stuff here as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, especially with independent films, films that always do well, you know, we have great films with stories, but the films that usually sell immediately are films with bigger names and things too. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see bigger stars come down to the indie level and do these projects too. But yeah, The Good Catholic, things just didn't work out with the release schedule prior to the festival. But we love their team and Zach Spice and everybody. And yeah, I personally have seen the movie. I enjoyed it a lot. So that's really cool as well. And I'm an IU grad, seeing everything work out there.
You watch it. Yeah, that was it. And you could actually walk from that place to that place. And it makes, you know, a little continuity sake. Or, okay, that's the church. I know that place.
So that was really neat. And then Columbus, too. I went to the screening with Koganada and John Cho here at Keystone Art Cinema.
Yeah, we saw those pictures online.
That was nuts. I mean, and there was somebody who, I mean, if you've seen the film, it was very personal for the director who came to Columbus. He fell in love with Columbus, knew he had to write the story around Columbus as opposed to going somewhere else and filming kind of around this idea or recreating the location. And there's somebody in the audience whose mother passed away in that same hospital that they filmed in. So John Cho almost got choked up at that moment and stuff too. So it was really cool to be part of that. And I mean, artistically, it's beautiful. And I think we haven't had a movie that I think Indiana can really hang its hat on for years at this level. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed by it.
So going back to the overall lineup, now that you look at it, do you see any themes? Do you see any patterns this year compared to last? As far as maybe story,
you know,
or diversity?
Especially with documentaries, I think there's a sign of the times, and I'm fully expecting a lot more political documentaries this coming year. With some issues coming
in. When you said sign of the times, I thought Prince.
Oh, Prince, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry we didn't get any Prince documentaries this year. But
that's all right.
We would put one in, too. There are a lot of social issues. I personally am a big advocate for civil rights and other things that are going on. Continue to go on this day, too. And we have 16 premiere titles, and two of which deal with really strong African-American topics. And one is Marvin Booker Was Murdered, which is a U.S. premiere. And years ago, before, unfortunately, this feels like it was almost a weekly or more occurrence of an unarmed black person getting killed in some form or fashion. Marvin Booker, he was a homeless street preacher in Denver, Colorado. He was arrested and brought into police custody, and there's video footage of it. Basically, he was pinned by, I think, five different cops, and he was murdered. Mm-hmm. And there was this long legal battle and everything too. Powerful story that a lot of people either don't remember or don't have heard about at this point in time. So we're excited to have the premiere of the film. The director, Wade Gardner, is going to be here, and members of the Booker family are going to be here too. Ooh. So it's pretty powerful stuff with that too. And then on another page, we have a movie called Triumph, the Untold Story of Perry Wallace. And this is a film about a black athlete at Vanderbilt University, and he was the first black athlete to break the color line in the Southeastern Conference, the SEC. So very, very timely, too, with some of the same topics and everything that's going on. But that's going to be another one. So, yeah, civil rights stuff, issues related to that. We have another thing kind of about Black Lives Matter movement and people that are really trying to not just protest but try to go the route of the government route, and how can we look at passing bills and things, too, called Show Me Democracy, mm-hmm. which I think will be very powerful, too. Again, I think we try to say we have films that are story-driven films. You're not going to see things that are more experimental or a lot of horror films like that, too. But we have... I'm trying to think of themes. I mean, there's a Roy G. Biv scale. I liken it to people who... You go to AMC, there's different things for different folks, and I think we really embody that. This is really my first year directing all the features and stuff too, and I think it's a very wide Roy G. Biv scale. We have the classic family films. We had a 2011 film that won our grand prize audience choice called Red Dog, which actually was the top grossing film in Australia, even beating out Titanic, Avatar, all that stuff too. And this is the follow-up movie, kind of a prequel called Red Dog, True Blue, which premiered at Sundance. But Jason Isaacs is in it, who's Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter. Now he's in the new Star Trek show, and he's been in a bunch of other great stuff. Levi Miller, who's going to be in A Wrinkle of Time with Ava DuVernay. He's an up-and-coming actor, too. So we have that film. That's going to be one of our top five films again, too. But a lot of other neat stuff, too. I think there's a film called La Soledad, or The Solitude, which takes place in Venezuela. That's another overlooked thing with everything going on in the news right now, too. But that country's in really in tough shape, and this film really embodies that in a really kind of subtle way as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of films out there that open on 3,000 screens. We're aware of that. And you know, the Heartland is the film festival is a reminder that take a chance.
Yeah.
So, we talk all the time about, and we're going to talk about a film in a little bit that's not at the festival as far as should you or should you not have prepared for it. We'll get to that. But, I mean, this is one where just go in and see what you find.
Yeah, I tell people...
There's literally something for everybody.
If you don't go, you don't know. And I know there's, in the early days, I think people might have this idea that it's all these Pollyanna-type movies that make you feel good. We have some of those. Yes,
sure.
We have some.
And yes, you get you award films with the truly moving pictures.
Correct.
Yeah.
Definitely. But there are films, like I said, films that are about social justice, things that you can personally do. But it's films that will impact you in some form or fashion. But we have everything from a kids' shorts program to an after-hours program. It's a little more non-sequitur, kind of funny, random stuff, too. And OBJ as well, rated R type stuff.
Speaking of random, I have a handful of titles from the Heartland Film Festival. Full disclosure, these people emailed me. So now I'm going to test Greg on how much he knows.
Your emails paid off, filmmakers.
Exactly. Or how much you can at least do a pitch for said film. All right, Grand Unified Theory.
Grand Unified Theory. I saw this film actually in person at Sedona. And it's a fun film about a guy who's really into kind of quantum physics and theories and stuff like that, too. And again, trying to work things out with his family. So it's that left brain, right brain kind of type story. But it's a great narrative feature film that I think a lot of people enjoy. I love some of the humor in the film, too.
I think you should do an evening of left brain, right brain pictures. So we'll work on that list. Okay, Abstraction.
Abstraction. This is a film about Diane Collard. And this is going to be a world premiere documentary short film, one of our top five films up for the grand prize. And the director, Jonathan Sapiti, he actually has two films in this year's festival. He has a documentary feature called The Dating Game, which is about dating in our digital world, which is actually fun. If you need an icebreaker, this is your first date with somebody. You can break the ice with this awkward movie about dating. And there's a fun short called A Date in 2025 about the future of dating stuff,
there
too.
There you go.
But Diane is a very inspirational and impactful personality, and the film does her justice for sure.
Okay, Show Me Democracy.
So that's one of the films I mentioned too. That's kind of along the lines of the Black Lives Matter movement and people who are really trying to push different ways in terms of legislation as opposed to just protesting too. So I think it'll... If there are folks out there that think protesters, you hear things like, oh, go get a job. How are you protesting? Why do you have the time to do this? This will enlighten you in some of those ways, how people can, from St. Louis and beyond, can impact society.
All right, Mixed Match.
Mixed match. Yes, this deals with blood transfusions, and especially people who are of mixed race, and how there really is a need out there. So I think there is an initiative out there called Be the Match, and I think we will have people actually at the festival where you can get swabbed and see if you can actually be a match for some of these folks who actually are in need in dire circumstances. That are on waiting lists out there, too.
Full disclosure, I'm directing a play that also involves swabs and blood tests. So,
Is it called Mixed Match?
No, it is not. Okay. It's called Informed Consent. Okay, Shut Up, Anthony.
Shut Up, Anthony. Again, I love comedies. And this is a really straight ahead, almost, I won't say like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but you can tell, I don't know if it's improv-based or not, too, but a lot of witty, fast dialogue throughout the film, too. And it really, there's mostly two characters throughout the film that interact with each other, too. But if you love kind of just kind of classic comedies, we'll keep going.
No, you're fine. I enjoy the film a lot. You did.
If you like comedies, go for it.
Still Sophie.
Still Sophie is one of our short films. And I'm trying to think, too. So you have to forgive me.
That's all right. Hey, you've had a really good streak. For the first time, ladies and gentlemen, he's opened up the guide.
Yes, I've
opened
the guide.
This is good.
Because, again, I'm not going to be a jerk and say I watched every single film and did everything, too. Yes, I watched the films. But Abby Specht on our team is our head shorts programmer. She works with one of our trusted volunteers, Julie Landrum, as well, too. So they really got free reign to pick the shorts as well, too. So still, Sophie... one of our 75 films directed by women this year. It's directed by Carolyn Knight, too. And so this is a documentary short about a subject named Sophie, and doctors thought she may never walk again or perform again, and they were wrong. So you'll have to see for yourself. That's part of the shorts program, Seven Women in Shorts.
All right, My Hero Brother.
My Hero Brother. We have two films, and again, that's I don't want to say a theme, but there are always powerful, inspirational stories of people facing adversity who might have disabilities and things of that nature, too. We have two films that a narrative feature, that's a premiere, and a documentary called My Hero Brother. And it's about siblings, pairs of siblings, who one of the siblings have Down syndrome over in Israel. And they go over, I believe, to India, and they go through the mountains and really face... kind of this grueling task together. And I think the documentary is more fly in the wall, watching these interpersonal connections between these siblings to see how they can accomplish this task.
All right, two more. Just Go.
Just Go is a short film, and it's kind of a neat action short film, and the main subject is in a wheelchair as well. It's gotten rave reviews at a bunch of film festivals, won tons of awards, so I definitely recommend seeing that.
And finally, The Rendezvous.
The Rendezvous. Okay, so this is an action film. So again, if there are folks out there, hey, I like guy movies. I don't want to go to Heartland. We have some really cool action films this year too, and this is almost kind of like Indiana Jones-ish action, where hey, let's kind of find the treasure type deal. But basically, Amin Matoka, he won our grand prize with Captain Abu Raid years ago. He had a film called Strangely in Love that was in the festival as well a few years ago. And this is his new film, and it features the female lead of Castle. And so she has a huge following, too. But it's a fun adventure film. Another film along the same vein is an Australian film called Goldstone, which is another action-packed film that kind of deals with the clash of the Aboriginals and the... and the white people settling around Australia and some other neat things, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg passed with flying colors. That was outstanding. So, filmmakers, next year, I could do a whole hour with this.
Yes.
And Greg will also bring in other co-workers to do the shorts. So, no, that was cool. That was really cool.
Oh, thanks.
So,
yeah.
For more information, where can people go as far as tickets? And
HeartlandFilmFestival.org. For a limited time, we have digital 10 packs this year. So, last year, we had almost 300 screenings. 118 of those sold out. So don't be sad, don't be crying at the box office when your movie's sold out. You can actually buy a 10-pack of vouchers, save $20 off the box office price, and you can pick your movies in advance and save your spot now, guarantee a seat.
And locations are how many? Vary?
Yeah, we have AMC Castleton, which is host to the Woodbridge Pavilion. That's going to be the spot of our premiere after parties. We're going to have our panels there, other thing too.
There's a bar there.
What, excuse me?
There's a bar there.
Yes, there is.
For those
and if
the
you
MacGuffin.
Buy our yes, and if you buy our complete festival experience package, you get unlimited beer and wine. So
and a driver.
Yeah, a driver. Yeah. But yeah, Woodbridge is a great sponsor this year. We have Sun King Beer, who's also a great sponsor.
Yep.
So you get to enjoy those all week. AMC Traders Point 12, so northeast, northwest side. And then we'll be at 3 days at the Museum of Art, Indianapolis Museum of Art in Newfields as well, too. So we'll have two screenings per day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with some big titles as well.
Okay. All right, shifting gears, Greg. Have you seen your family lately?
Yes, I have.
So, how much of work are you able to bring home? I need to watch these.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's... As you know, with the art scene, fall is a crazy time of year, and there's a lot of stuff that I would love to do, wish I could do. Things that do actually go out, and I have a very understanding wife, too. But yeah, I have almost 2-year-old.
Has she watched any of the shorts or the animated stuff that you guys?
You know what? No, I think we've gotten to the point now where we don't have to watch the awful, probably made in some random country, bad lip sync, fairy like a nursery rhyme generic.
Or it's a Disney. It's the story that Disney already did, but they did their own version, or they respelled it.
That's $3.99 on DVD at Walmart. Yeah,
right.
Like Frozen. I don't know. That starred a dog. but no. She is actually in love with Moana right now.
Well, yes, that's perfect.
But she likes watching the first so many minutes, but she's gotten to the point where
she'll watch like every day
much,
she has to, yeah. Oh yeah,
we'll watch some else. We'll watch a little bit of Daniel Tiger. Furchester Hotel. If you haven't seen that, it's almost the British version of Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
Where it's the monsters who run a hotel and they face a dilemma or a problem. It's like 15-minute shows, and she loves it. But we've graduated from that. But she'll stop. She's like, stop it. It's time to watch Moana.
Okay, because when Emma was younger, Emma was her age, it was either Monsters, Inc. or Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day.
We did get through both of those movies. It seems like she has more patience for the Disney Pixar films. We watched Cinderella, which is a little bit shorter, so just over an hour and stuff, too. But yeah, the Disney Pixar, I think, is where it's at.
She has not finished Moana yet?
We have finished it.
Okay.
But I think she's just really loved. There's the scene towards the beginning where it's like, it's like babies love other babies, and there's like when baby Moana goes into the water and finds the heart and the rescuing little sea turtle. That's where she lights up in her face. She like giggles with glee when the water comes up, almost like the abyss. It's like you're gonna love the abyss later in life. The water like kisses her head and twists her. She loves that.
Was she okay with the lava monster?
I think so.
Okay,
it's not too bad, but.
Your first time scare, in cinema. I understand. So
and that's her first shape shifting movie. Because a lot of the great Disney movies have shape shifting characters, Sword in the Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the thing. As a kid, I thought, hey, maybe someday I'll get to do this, but that hasn't happened yet.
So I heard you recently. We talked off air. You cleansed your palate with Darren Aronofsky.
Yes.
What did you think of Mother?
So.
And by the way, if you haven't figured, we'll try. I mean, I did a spoilers-free alert last week, but the film's been out for 3 weeks, and you probably read about it. So
that's
we'll
why I ran to see it.
Okay.
And that's the thing, too. I think being tired parents, my wife goes to bed fairly early. Our daughter is down usually by 8 o'clock.
That's when you watch the hardcore stuff, hardcore stuff.
No, yeah. So that's when I might escape, say, hey, I'm gonna sneak out and see a movie or something like that, too. But there are movies that, if they're just phenomenons in different forms of fashion, it was a box office phenomenon and stuff, too. And I've said in past things, I'm not a huge fan of horror. It's not like I just don't like it, but it's just not a lot of movies that toot my flute, if you will. I'm not, like, I don't seek them out, if I'll put it that way, too. But it, I grew up, I remember being scared, renting the double VHS set when I was sick in elementary school, and then I think my mom timed the dishwasher, and I almost crapped my pants because I thought Pennywise was going to come through the dishwasher or something, too. So I think people have nostalgia towards that, whatever, too. So I saw that. I enjoyed it a lot, too. And here's a fun fact. The dad of the bully in the film, the mulleted bully, his dad, who's the cop, he's the star of one of our finalist films called The Drawer Boy.
Nice.
Stuart Hughes, and he will be here for the Heartland Film Festival.
Way to tie all that in.
Yes.
Look at that.
But I liked it a lot, too, and it didn't go into the flashbacks.
Right.
Flash
I mean, they're building,
stuff,
too. There's a part two
so
coming.
So I didn't know, too, but yeah, that was pretty cool, too. And then I haven't read the book, but I'm glad they left out the scene that was not in there, I guess, from the book.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll leave it at that. Do a little research if you like for that, too. But with
so
Mother.
It so, and Mother is so what it, you did today.
So I went to it. It, and then the next day I was like, oh, record 8.8 million on a Monday or Tuesday. But Mother, again, it was, again, Darren Aronofsky, I was not a huge fan of Noah. Love Black Swan.
Love the wrestler.
Exactly.
I don't know if you can love Requiem for a Dream, but you can survive Requiem for
a
Dream.
That's the thing. There's the word that with your enough is respect, and I think it's like it's cred too. I mean, people, even if you don't like it, it's like, hey, I get that and whatever too. But
it's a cinematic equivalent. I said this last week. It's when you have hopefully you've never gone through this. Honey, what do you feel like eating? I don't know. Well, what do you want to eat? I don't care. What about this? No, I talked with somebody on Facebook. They're like, the obligatory 90% of the movies are remakes, sequels, TV. And I said, well, what about this? No, I don't want to see that. I can help you.
It's a phenomenon called pizza amnesia. Every time you go to a pizza parlor, what kind of pizza do you like? Oh, I don't know. It's like, we've already ordered pizza together 300 times plus, but it's always a struggle, yeah. But, so I went into this. Again, I'm not going to go out and see a movie just because Jennifer Lawrence in it, too. But just knowing the director, a bigger name actress, so I went to it. And candidly, probably one of my favorite movie-going experiences, too. Another one is when I saw Swiss Army Man at Sundance, the premiere of that. Two rows back.
Full house,
behind the actors and the crew and stuff, too. And so the spin out of that was everyone was leaving because there were, basically corpse farts and yada yada and other stuff, too. But unlike other Sundance things, the movie started incredibly late. So it was probably a mix. But there were folks who left that near us in the audience, whatever, too. But that, you thought it was going to be like a Robinson Crusoe type movie. You get, even with this Heartland guidebook, you see a still, you're like, oh, it's going to be kind of like this.
No.
Usually it's not that way ever.
Mm-hmm.
So just pure, what am I getting into? I have no idea. Turning whatever you think is going to be on its head. That's what that movie did, and that's what Mother did for me, too.
Okay.
I was with it 5/6 of the film, and I appreciate what it did. But the last sequence to me, and I talked about this online too, but have you been to the Creation Museum?
No.
Okay. In full disclosure, I just went to check it out because it's almost like I don't follow a lot of the stuff that is there, but it's kind of like, hey, me and my buddy went to Creation Museum. But basically, they go through all this different stuff and you can, whatever, if you're into the ideology, but there is a room where basically the world goes to crap or something like that too, where it's like all of these tropes, cliches, like, almost like The Purge, where it's like, or it's just like the world has gone to utter disarray.
Right.
And it felt like I fell asleep during the film and had this lucid nightmare that I was in this exhibit, this scene of the Creation Museum, where the world has turned its back on God. And maybe actually maybe Darren went to the Creation Museum and he was inspired by this stuff too.
And by the way, if you watch the Bears Steelers game last week, it's like that guy slowing down at the 5. I think is what Greg's trying to say.
Yes, it was nuts. But I think for me, it was almost like, hey, this is everything that's going wrong in the world, and it went from 0 to 90 really fast. So I appreciated what it did, but I think it kind of hit too many of those kind of stereotypes. I tried to do too much too late, in my opinion. And
I almost went into Ken Russell territory.
Right.
Yeah, I think I liked it more. I think I respect it more than I liked it.
Right.
I liked it. I didn't get all of it. I knew what he was trying to make a point of for the most part. But yeah, I was tired after watching that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was funny because it was kind of like, the thing that transitioned to you was these annoying house guests. Like, hey, stop painting my walls.
Right.
Hey, don't go in the bathroom it was just kind of,
I always say, and Kristen Wiig shows up like George Harrison in Life of Brian.
Yeah.
If you haven't figured that out. But, and of course, how people react back then, but they're in modern dress. There you go.
Yeah.
that's wonderfully vague.
And really, I think the thing for me, Michelle Pfeiffer was kind of the thing that started taking me out of the movie too, and her standoffishness to Jennifer Lawrence's character throughout the film. I was like, okay, well, and that kind of led you into the rest of the stuff I was going into. So was it something totally unexpected? Was it an awful movie? No, by no means. Again, was it something I respect? Yeah. But again, that's why movies are still in theaters. That's why people still go to the movies.
Please.
So you can have this unadulterated, pure experience, and you're not distracted by your phone. Or for me, if a 90-minute movie turns into a 4-hour epic because you keep falling asleep and watch right. it over five nights.
How was your crowd?
It was, I saw it again on a, I think it was a Sunday night at Flick's Brewhouse in Carmel.
Ah.
And it was a younger crowd there, but it was maybe 12 people.
How were they?
The audience. No one was very too, you know, exclamatory. I wasn't, it was pretty mundane. I think people probably, I think it was kind of like, what the hell did I just see? For the most part.
Right.
No one was really kind of, because I think after you see that movie, you just want to be quiet and think for a while. I mean, really, that's what I got from the people.
There were five other people in the one I went to. It was 11 a.m.
Oh, perfect.
Friday morning. Yeah. Yeah, the old, the unemployed, and the weird. and the woman, I think the lone female, if I remember right, I could hear her sighing out loud as moments happened. But I think I'm going to guess, I should have asked her, but I think we had all just gone through something. But I think she was expecting a Jennifer Lawrence film.
Really?
That
yeah.
Really,
I'm glad,
not the case.
I'm glad people were talking, because actually the last Aronofsky movie was No, I Saw. And I saw that at Studio Movie Grill, and people just talked like crazy, like on phones. We're talking.
Oh, during
during the film, and I think Sam Wattermeyer had a similar experience seeing this movie, and I'd be pretty pissed off as well. Yeah, but definitely go see it if you want. Again, so everything that you see in defense of the film being something fresh, something new, something different, and support that. I don't see anything wrong with that as well too. But you again, if you were indifferent or didn't like Noah. Go into this knowing that. This is the follow-up to that film. And there are definitely biblical implications.
There might be a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
All right, shift gears a little bit. Once again, where can people go for Heartland information?
Yeah, heartlandfilmfestival.org. We have our big 172-page guidebook. You can pick up AMC Castleton, AMC Traders Point, or the Heartland Film Office in Fountain Square. Yeah, everything you need to know, heartlandfilmfestival.org.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Once again, big thanks to Greg Sorvig, Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Heartland Film Festival. The Heartland Film Festival. Go to heartlandfilmfestival.org for the times and information and locations. That's October 12th through the 22nd. So go see a good movie. You deserve it. And if you can't find it at the multiplexes, go to the art house. And if you can't find it at the art house, go online. There's plenty of good films out there. You just got to find it. So until next time. Take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Believe you'd let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!